We finally made it to the end. Some of you are probably thankful. We finally made it to the end. You might be tired of hearing about it. We're down to verse number 6 today. I was going to split this up in 2 different messages, but put it all together. I believe it fits better that way. This morning is to close out Psalms 23, unless the Lord changes my mind. I thought about one more message, but I don't think I'm going to put it in there. Anyway, so what have we covered so far? You've heard it over and over again. I'm going to give it to you again. We discussed a lot in this chapter. This is the 12th message out of these 6 short verses. I didn't plan on making it that long. I thought it'd be at the most 6 altogether. It grew on me. I've learned a lot. I hope you've learned a lot. I know I have. Lord's helped me and blessed me. This chapter has encouraged me. It has challenged me, has amazed me at the accuracy of the scriptures over and over again. Look at verse number 1. We said, the Lord is my shepherd. We talked about the shepherds in the Bible, and the life of the shepherd, all different ones. Moses and Abraham, all different ones are shepherds. How it's not a desired life. It's not something people look forward to, not something young kids aspire to be. It's a lowly life and a lonely life and a laborious life. It's a loving life. But all that, and how amazing called a shepherd. Of all the things he could have been called, he chose to be a shepherd. Why did he do that? Deep. He chose to be a shepherd for me. The sheep that get the not just cutting their ear, in modern day they get the ear tags. How we ought to have some symptoms that show who we belong to. We talked about that. And then we'll talk a little bit more about that today. In verse number 2, we talked about the sheep and how we're like them even though we don't like to admit it. Are difficult, defenseless, and directionless, and dumb, easily disturbed, detrimental to the cause, often fit in every one of those categories at different points. Maybe not at the same time, I hope not. But different categories. I don't know if you do or not, but I do. I do more often. They're lie down now. Some different things must be taken care of for to get some peace. The parasite. Green path. Up here, the green pastures in Israel, how it's not what we may think it is. It's not maybe not what we're hoping for. Maybe not the thick, lush alfalfa grass, lazy life, get laid down and reach over whenever we get hungry. It's not how it works. We are to trust the shepherd for every step, trust the shepherd for every meal, follow him, learn to trust him because he's in control. Talked about that. We looked at those still waters. Now, the sheep, drought season, if they can get up close to the shepherd in the morning time, get some of that morning dew. How they'll be sustained throughout the day. That's what we need. And we're talking about, he restoreth my soul. He said, my soul is cast down. He's cast down. God picked him up. He restored his soul. God picks us up all the time, brings us back. He's merciful over and over and over again. He comes back, restores our soul, brings us back. When we sin and done wrong, he forgives us, brings us back into the fold again. And we look at those paths of righteousness. To trust him. And thankfully, he leads us in the path of righteousness for his name's sake, because oftentimes I don't know which way to go. And then that valley. Applied to many different things. In the literal sense, we talked about the valley of shadow of death, also known as the Kedron Valley, has the same name there in Israel, the valley of David used to flee from his son Absalom. Even the one of the deepest, darkest times in his life, he said, I feared evil because the shepherd was with him. Betrayed after Judah went to the same valley went through. He knows what we're going through. He understands what we're going through. He has felt the infirmities. He knows what it's like. He understands. Talk about that rod and that staff, the Word of God and the Holy Spirit, and how they both comfort me. That rod there for protection and correction. Staff there to point us in the right direction to rescue us and bring us all together, the Holy Spirit. The tableland that the shepherd has prepared for us right there in front of the enemies. The shepherd is in control. He can bless you and use you in the face of the enemy. He's not worried about the enemy. Those protections he prepares for us there in the valley, there on the tableland, the ways of escape he prepares for us there on the tableland. Thou anointest my head with oil. Again, in the tableland, my cup runneth over. He used the oil to guard against the pest, to guard against the disease, to guard against dispute. We talked about that last week. And he says, my cup runneth over. If we'll just get our mind right and our heart right, our spirit right, get our focus right, then we can also say, my cup runneth over. Get our head on straight. Just remember who God is and what he has done for us. He's too good to us. We've covered a lot in this chapter here. Let's look at verse number 6 today. Y'all okay this morning? Everybody's stiff and tight this morning. Make me nervous. Loosen up a little bit. Verse number 6. My daughter. She's always loose. It says in verse number 6, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. What is this talking about? What does this mean? Make it very simple this morning. I got 2 points, and then I'm going to close it out with a conclusion there. Number one, we see his goodness and mercy to me. This whole study of this chapter has been centered on how much the shepherd loves the sheep. But the whole time, it's what has been centered on how much he loves us and cares for us, what he does for us. We've seen how it's necessary to have a good shepherd if a sheep is going to make it. A sheep can either go one way or the other. It depends on the shepherd. It's the shepherd that determines the welfare of the sheep, and we have the best shepherd there is. If the sheep will simply follow him, they'll be cared for. And that's what we have seen over and over again in the chapter. Every verse talking about the shepherd and what he does for us and how he cares for, how he prepares for us. The shepherd and how much he loves the sheep. Highlighted some of the many things the shepherd will do for the sheep. It's not everything, but some of the big things he's pointed out and what the great shepherd, our Lord, does for us is what David is pointing out in this chapter. Now in verse number 6, David is drawing all those things in together. All the big things, those big highlighted things the shepherd does. That lying down, his green pasture, still waters, and so on. He draws them all together and says, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. The shepherd is in control. He does all these other things for me. And David says, goodness and mercy can follow me all the days of my life. I have a good shepherd. The shepherd is so good to us sheep. No matter what trouble and trials throw up, we can rest assured the goodness and the mercy are not far behind. We can have peace because we're in the care of a good shepherd. That's what David is saying in verse number 6. It is as if he has come back home. The word picture we get here, the sheep has spent its winter and spring at home, and he head off through that valley in the summertime. We talked about that, how the shepherd takes the sheep up into the mountains in the summertime, and that table land, we looked at all those things. Now it's getting cold again, getting towards winter again. They've come back to the ranch. That's the picture we get, and as if he's talking to the neighbor sheep again. David changes his point of view again. He's no longer using those pronouns he used in verses 4 and 5. In verse 4 and 5, he's with the shepherd, by himself with the shepherd. He used pronouns thou, anoint us, and verse thou prepares over and over again. Now in verse 6, he's back to the third person type of speech. It says, at the end of verse, I will dwell in the house of the Lord. He didn't say, I will dwell in thine house. He's talking to somebody else again. He must have changed his position, changed who he's talking to. So it seems as if he's back at home again, talking to the sheep, the neighbor sheep again. That's the picture we get. And he says, what does he have to say? After the whole summertime with the shepherd, he tells the neighbor sheep, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. It's almost as if he's bragging about it. He's boasting about it. He's complete faith in his shepherd. So much faith in his shepherd. So much so he's boasting about how good his shepherd is to him. How he's going to be taken care of for the rest of his life. He has faith in his shepherd. How many of us can truly say the same thing, truly feel the same way? How many of us would talk the same way about our shepherd? You examine yourself. If you were being honest, would you be willing to speak this way about the Lord? Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. Would you say sure? Would you say that? Would you be willing to boast that? Is that the way you feel about him? We say, well, I don't have all the good days. I don't always have goodness in my life. Look at verse number 4. David didn't either. But in verse 6, it says, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. Even in the valley of shadow of death, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me. Over and over again, it's always with me. If you're going to brag, you can brag on him. He's worthy of it. We're not worthy of bragging. I'll be proud, but he sure is. He's worthy to brag on. You can brag on him. Be proud of your shepherd. Do you tell others how good God is to you? I'm not saying brag about yourself. Don't get that confused. Many people do. I'm saying you should feel proud of who your shepherd is. He's a great shepherd. Good, he's worthy of bragging about. It's easy to feel the way David feels, verse 6. It's easy to feel that way when everything's going good, when your health is good, and your finances are good, and the family is getting along, and everybody in the church is getting along, it's life is easy. It's very easy to say, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me. It's easy in those times to brag about him. But what about in those times, maybe life isn't so easy. Not everyone in the home is healthy, and when the finances aren't in the comfortable position they were before, or when your business isn't doing as good as it was before, when the economy is turned upside down because of a virus, what about then? You still trust the shepherd the same way you did in the mountaintop. You still trust the same way you did in that tableland. It's easy to love God when life is easy. When life is easy, life is good. How do you act? How do you act? How do you trust him when life is hard? These are times that will test your faith in the shepherd. Are you willing to say that in the hard times? Many times, if we're not careful, we start to change our mind about the shepherd when the hard times come. We start looking around and thinking, I don't know, Lord. I think I could do a little bit better on my own. You may not say that out loud. I hope you don't. But we probably all thought it at one point or another. I'm not 100% sure, Lord, shepherd, that you know what you're doing here. Be honest. That's why many people don't surrender to the Lord, don't do what the Lord tells them. They don't trust the shepherd. That's why many young people don't surrender to the ministry. They don't trust the shepherd. Do we really trust the shepherd? Do we trust him? He's in control. Maybe I know of a missionary, a pastor there in South Dakota right now. He's planning a church, and he's trying his best to hand that church off to go start a church in Africa. That's where his heart is. He can't get anybody to come. Can anybody surrender to come take his church over? His heart's in Africa. He's begging for somebody to come. Nobody will come. Why is it's because God doesn't want somebody there. I don't believe that. Maybe it's because somebody's unwilling to go. I don't know. It's not my job to decide. But I wonder how many preachers and missionaries we have sitting on the pew not willing to trust the shepherd. Maybe it's somebody here. Maybe it's somebody watching or listening. I don't know. Maybe God would call a man out of our church to be a preacher and go and plant churches. Maybe, do you trust? Are you willing to trust the shepherd in the good times and the bad times? Are you willing to stand and say, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life? Because in Romans 8:28, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. Work together for good. Might not be fun at the moment. Eventually it's going to be good. Surely in goodness and mercy will follow. It's coming. It may not look like it. Even the author David had to walk through a valley shadow of death. It wasn't always fun and games for him either. But he says, surely in goodness and mercy will follow me. And I tell you this morning, it took a whole lot of trusting in my shepherd for us to come here. He had a good job and had a family and a home and land, different things. And to hand all that off and trust the shepherd to come, it's not always been easy. There's been good times. There's been hard times. I'm here. Sometimes I wanted to quit, and there have been times I wouldn't quit if somebody paid me to do it. There have been times we've laughed. There have been times we've cried. All the days of my life, he's always been good to me. My cup always runneth over. He's blessed us more than we have ever deserved. The shepherd's been good to this smelly old dumb sheep. He's been good to me. Can you say that this morning? You want to say it in the good times as well as in the bad times. You might say, well, why would I do that? It says in John 10:11, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. He's paid a big price for you. It says in 1 John 3:16, hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for his brethren. He's paid a big price for us. He's worthy to be praised, worthy to brag on. He's a good shepherd. We see his goodness and mercy to us. Number two, we see my goodness and mercy to others. Pass it along. What all this goodness and mercy towards us, what are we supposed to do with it? Are we supposed to just let it go on by and ignore it and be thankful for it and not do anything with it? Or are we supposed to accept it in and not do anything? No, we ought to pass it along. Not only should goodness and mercy follow me all the days of my life, but it should literally follow me. I should leave a trail of goodness and mercy behind me everywhere I go. You say, well, why would I do that? Same verse again, 1 John 3:16. Hereby receive the love of God, because he laid down his life for us. We ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. Follow his example. You know the parable of the Good Samaritan. This is how it ends, Luke 10:36. Which now of these three thinkest thou was neighbor in him that fell among the thieves? He said, he that showed mercy on him. And said Jesus unto him, go and do thou likewise. God's been good to us. The shepherd's been good to us. And I tell you this morning, go and do thou likewise. because he showed goodness and mercy to us, led his sheep to show goodness and mercy to others. We've been doing the whole time, using these sheep as an illustration. We mentioned how the sheep can be so detrimental to the pasture, not proper hands, good shepherd. If they're left to their own devices, they'll destroy it. They'll walk the same path and eat the same plants and pull up the roots and destroy the land. Left to their own. And if shepherd, the exact opposite happens. If they're properly managed, sheep can be the best thing for a pasture. Sheep's, don't mean nastiest form of sheep's manure is the best balance of all the livestock. It's one of the best fertilizers you could ever use. Not only that, but the sheep always seek the high ground. So they eat the grass, the low ground. They take it up to the high ground. They spread it around. They spread the nutrients around. The sheep are the best thing for a pasture if they're properly managed. In short, I read about one sheep. He said in 2 years, he took a nasty old rundown ranch he bought for cheap, and with his sheep turned into a good, high-priced pasture land, just with the sheep, properly managing them, even eating down here and going up here. I read the ancient literature they used to call sheep. They were known as those of the golden hoofs because they're respected for the effect they had on the land. They, if managed properly, they could be very valuable to a piece of land. What's the point of all this? But surely goodness and mercy follow behind those sheep. They left the place better than when they came. Same said about us. Sure of goodness and mercy behind us. Or leave a good testimony behind us. Lasting impression of goodness. Testimony are you leaving behind? It matters. It makes a big difference, isn't it? Isaiah 52:7. How beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of him that bringeth good tidings, that publisheth peace, that bringeth good tidings of good, that publisheth salvation, that saith in Zion, thy God reigneth. How beautiful are the feet of them. You ought to bring peace and joy and forgiveness. Remember this fruit of the Spirit we talked about on Wednesday night. Yeah, we didn't enjoy talking about it. Galatians 5:22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness. Against such there is no law. We have to leave behind a trail of goodness and mercy. Life. Leave it behind us. David started out with this phrase, "Dear Lord is my shepherd. I shall not." Starting in verse number 1. He's closing it out the same way. He says, "And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." In other words, I shall not want. I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. He is enough. I don't want to go anywhere else. The house of the Lord, I believe, simply means with the shepherd. Some you can make the application of the church, the house of the Lord. Some have said that. Some may make the application of heaven, and that can be good as well, good application there. But here's the thing. I'm not in heaven right now. And that doesn't mean the shepherd is not with me right now. I'll have the Holy Ghost living inside of me, and I'll dwell with the shepherd for eternity. I have the promise that he will never leave me. Hebrews 13:5, let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as you have. For he hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. So I believe David is saying here, I'm going to stick with the Lord forever. He's not going to leave me, and I'm not going to try to leave him. Once saved, always saved. We know that. Eternal life, and they shall never perish, but neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. I can't leave, and he won't leave, so I'll dwell in the house of the Lord forever. It's taken care of. Once in the flock, he's going to get you. You're not going to be able to leave. And David doesn't say this like as a punishment, like the prison. He's still seemingly bragging on how good a shepherd is, talking to the other sheep. He says, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. He's always been good to me. He says, and guess what? I'll dwell in the house of the Lord forever. I'll dwell with him for forever, be with him for eternity. He's prepared a place for you if you're saved. We can read Revelation. We know at the end of the story we're going to win. We're going to be with him for eternity. We can spend eternity with him in the house of the Lord forever, with him forever. Doesn't matter what valley, what shadow of death, what trial, what trouble, what virus comes our way. Doesn't matter what politicians try to take our freedom away. Doesn't matter what happens on this earth. That's not going to change the fact that he's a good shepherd, and he's going to give me surely goodness and mercy. They're going to follow me, and I'm going to dwell with him forever. Nothing can change that. It's going to be okay. I think everybody needs to realize that this morning. It's going to be okay. He's in control. It may not be okay for this earth, but we're getting out of here. It's going to be okay. He's in every verse of this chapter. He's at the beginning. He's in every verse. He's at the end. David started out with the chapter bragging about how the Lord is his shepherd. And I shall not. He closes it out with, I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. It's all about him. It's about the shepherd. God's worth it. Can you brag on him a little bit today? Life is not always easy. David never said it was. He made it very obvious. It was not always easy for these sheep either. He proved it. Verse number 4. Life's not always easy. God is always good. He is always there. The shepherd is always there. He's always my shepherd for eternity. David says, Lord is my shepherd. I'm going to live with him for forever. Good times there in the bad times. He's always good. And we get to dwell in his house for forever.